Radio Free Brooklyn.
Voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch. Yourself.
You can't stop it.
I just said that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
Son of a bitch, I'm freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chance you want to leave.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Got to go big. Really big.
Message erased.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. And Lenny Bruce is not afraid. Self-churn world serves its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox beat grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down high. Wire in a fire. Representing seven games in a government for hire at a combat site. Left to us are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team by team reporters babble Trump. Tether crop. Look at that. No plane. Fine. Then. Uh-oh. Overflow. Population common. But it'll do
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Yeah. so mad over there.
Are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you. We are Dave and Giggles, and we are now live. After some technical difficulties, the door was locked. I couldn't get in. I had to figure out what the passcode was to the lockbox. Got in. Then you were over there. What happened over there?
I think the headphone input on my headphone output on my inbox wasn't working.
And then I'm scrambling over here to figure out what it is over here that's messed up. And when it turns out it's over there that's messed up.
That's true.
Well, you know what? We're here and we're going to make it work. That's all we can do, you know?
We've got a guest in studio, my studio in Colorado.
Be my guest as to who the guest is.
His name's Chris. He's a former wine expert, or I say he's still a wine expert, or a wine connoisseur, a fan of wine, and he's a neighbor. So he's one of my new bromances.
I like it. I could tell already you have this, like, you're like, don't mess this up. I want this to be good, you know? Welcome. What's his name?
Chris,
welcome, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we're here with you for the next 45 minutes. I got some wine because Mike told me to go get some wine, but it turns out that it wasn't the place that he told me to go get it. But I did get it, and I could show it to you what I did. I got this thing from Aviva, which is Luzon Verde 2015. I tried to get the one that he wanted me to get for you, because I kind of assumed that that meant that you were going to be in my studio, but it turns out you're going to be in Colorado. I'm very confused by this show. All right, let me calm down a little bit.
Calm down.
Have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, open that up. Open that up.
I forgot the wine opener. I'm a mess. All right, so what's happening over here? What's going on? What's going on that end in Colorado?
No, we're just hanging out. You know, Chris had this idea about a wine show, so he wanted to do this podcast. And I was like, listen, I do a radio show. And so if you wanted to come on and talk about wine, and Chris, I'll let you elaborate a little bit. You know, feel free to step in.
Yeah, yeah, sure. So my idea was to, the name I came up with was Bottom Shelf.
Okay.
And the reason being is that when consumers are left to their own devices and don't have a guide at the wine store,
like I didn't,
yeah, they find things that they know,
right?
Typically Merlot, Chardonnay, Cabernet, you know, and so the merchandisers will put all the stuff that no one knows really on the bottom shelf.
Okay,
and that's where the values come from, or great varieties people haven't really heard of, or
so the higher wineries. You go, the more expensive the wine is, right?
A lot of times.
So people tend to go for the one that are on the lowest shelf. Is that correct?
No. Well, if they know about wine, yeah. But
are you saying the good stuff is on the bottom?
Yes. It's all relative. I mean, basically the value is on the bottom shelf.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right. So I bought this bottle of wine. Let's talk about this bottle of wine. It was I only had $15 on. Right?
Yeah.
So I went in and I was looking for the bottle that he told me to get, and it wasn't there because it wasn't the place that he told me to go. So obviously it's not going to be there. So I only had $15 on me, and there was a $20 limit. So I was like, all right, I got to get something under 15. So I bought something for 11. So this is a, I don't even know, but,
does it say Garnacha on the front or Monastrell?
It does. I thought I saw Monastrell. Jumila. I see a Jumila. Monastrell. It is a Monastrell.
Okay. Well, yeah, that winery, Bodegas Luzon, makes about 10 different wines.
All right.
And that particular one is a blend of Syrah and Monastrell. Monastrell is what the Spanish call Mourvèdre. Most people pronounce it Mourvèdre, and that's grown like in the Rhone and Provence, southeastern Spain, which is Humea. That's the wine region.
Cool. It's, so what about that region that gives it the taste? What is the taste of that region like? Is it nutty? Is it like, what is it?
It's basically,
get into wine talk,
really chock full of dark red fruit.
Okay.
So, dark berries, you know, like blackberry, blueberry, those type of flavors. But
so is it sweeter?
A little hint of licorice and
oh, really?
Cinnamon.
Huh. Do they put that in itself, or is that just kind of like the taste of the fruit of that?
That's what they the fancy wine snobs call terroir.
Terroir,
which is the terror. it's basically everything that affects the grapevine: the sun, the wind, the type of pollen floating around in the air.
All right, so I got a question for you. It's a wine-related question, obviously. What is the difference between a $100 bottle of wine and a $10 bottle of wine like I just bought right here? Like, is the difference?
There is going to be a quality difference, because typically a $100 bottle of wine is going to be... They harvest fewer grapes from the vine. They spend a lot more money on oak barrels and stuff like that. So you're going to be able to tell that it's better than the $10 bottle of wine. But to be brutally honest, I think it's not going to be better than a $50 bottle of wine.
Okay, you know? So a $100 bottle of wine and a $50 bottle of wine are going to be right up there.
You can find something that's 25 or 30 up to 50 that's better than some wines that are $100. It's because they built a $3,000 mansion on a property.
Okay, I get it.
They got overhead.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. So you go to France and Spain and Italy, and you go to the farmers that make these wines, and they have a barn that's 200 years old with their wine equipment in it. You know, and then you go to, let's just say, Napa, not to bash Napa. I like Napa wines. But there's a lot of people up there that have multi-billion dollar estates, you know?
Of course.
And their wine isn't any better than the poor old farmer in France. It's just that they need to make more money to sustain their lifestyle.
All right, Dave, I'm going to do one thing right now. That's a good... hold on. I'm going to see if I can switch this out.
All right. Do what you got to do. But I'm talking about wine here.
I know. Hold on. We're going to try something. Hold on.
All right.
See if this
is coming. I got a question for Chris. He's switching me out for some reason. Can you hear me, Chris? Can you hear me?
I'll be able to hear.
Jeez. Oh, there
we go.
This is just...
All right. What about now? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I never could
hear
you.
Oh, there you go. See now? This.
Everybody's good?
Yeah.
All right, Chris. My question is...
You can probably hear me.
Did you see the... they found what do they think is the oldest bottle of wine ever made, and it's about 1600 years old.
Is that the one they found in like southern Turkey?
Yeah, and like I think they found it in the bottom of the sea, like a shipwreck or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good, because they sealed it, because apparently back then they didn't seal it with cork. They sealed it with something much more durable, so it was able to like keep its, obviously, whatever was in there, but obviously all the wine had all the liquor had evaporated, and it was kind of left with this kind of like disgusting looking like floating globs of, you know, fruit or whatever was left, sediment, whatever was left. Obviously you can't drink such a thing, but I found it interesting that they found the oldest bottle of wine ever, because you think okay, well, if everybody values old wine, I just want the oldest bottle of wine ever, just give it to me. But obviously not, because it goes bad.
Yeah.
So what is the oldest bottle of wine you've ever had?
Well, I was lucky. A company I was working for, I worked kind of like an assistant for someone that was an importer. And he invited me to come to this first growth Bordeaux tasting. And the surprise at the event was they had a 6-liter bottle of Chateau Lafite, and it was from 1895.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
And that's pre-phylloxera. That's the little louse that like chewed up all the vineyards in California. Well, not California. It was France and Europe. And the California rootstock is resistant to it. But
so wait, what happened in that around 1800? What happened? There was a little mouse that ate all the... There was a wine shortage? Is that what you're telling me?
It wasn't a mouse. It was a pest.
Like lice.
Well, the guy with kids. Lice.
A little bug that chewed away at the roots. Hmm.
So
you
then
take notes on these things before we start talking about them, because you're like, did you hear? We do a lot of that. Did you hear about this?
Did you hear about
this? We don't have any facts about it. We just read the headlines and talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna get to the bottom of it one way or another. It just takes us a little bit longer to get there. That's all that matters.
Right. Okay. So anyway, so the wine. tasted old, looked old, smelled old, but it was still a lot. You know, it was still.
Was it good?
Had some fruit to it. Yeah.
It was good?
I was surprised.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. So what happened with these lice, now that I'm going to call them lice? Did they just annihilate the French vineyards? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they did.
Wow. So was there an actual wine shortage in the late 1800s?
There was. That's what actually gave California wine a boost, because there was no French wine to be found anywhere. So California, everybody was buying California wine.
Huh. See, you do learn stuff every day you're on Dave and Giggles. Yeah.
If you're just listening, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dave and Giggles. We've got our special, you're not classified as a sommelier. Are you a sommelier?
No, I don't have sommelier status.
He's an unlicensed sommelier. No, he's a basement sommelier.
I didn't want to be one because that's just selling out.
Yeah.
Why is that selling, Chris? Why is that selling out to be a sommelier?
Well, I mean, so I learned how to make wine hands-on with winemakers, and I'd been in the industry for 13 years or so. I might have been, I'm getting old, I can't remember. But I kind of did the thing that, you know, you go to France and you work as a dishwasher in the famous restaurant.
Okay.
You learn how to make, you learn how to make the food, and then you end up getting hired up into the kitchen from the dishwasher position. And I kind of did the same thing in the wine business. I didn't go to school for winemaking. I didn't go to school for wine marketing. But I worked for a bunch of people that really knew what they're doing. And I went and took the first examination to become a sommelier. And it was kind of I'm not saying it was a joke, but I was like, I know all this stuff. You know, I felt like it was easy, and it's not easy. I don't need anybody sending me hate mail.
718-928-9732. Call up and tell him.
Yeah, tell him how important it is right. to be a sommelier.
But I get what you're saying, but it's kind of like a road test. You know, you go get your license.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
all
yeah.
basic stuff. Yeah, you just have to go through the process of doing it to get that thing that the government tells you you need to do the thing you want to do.
Yeah, I just felt like I knew more. Maybe I'm just I'm an idiot snob or something. I don't know. But I just felt like these people that were, you know, telling me about wine knew less about it than I did, and I didn't feel like sitting through it, basically. Hmm. So
you were like, I'm out of here. Screw this place. Yeah. I'm out.
I know all this stuff. I know this test. I don't need to take this test.
I don't need to take this stinking test.
So is it like equivalent of like a moonshiner? Now you're like a wine shiner. Is that what's happening? Is that a term in the world of wine when you make it
on
your own?
That's a new term.
I just coined it. Dave. I just coined it. So don't steal it. There it is. I lost picture in you guys, so I can't see you anymore. But
what happened?
I don't know.
Oh, did I?
You might have turned it off.
Oh, I turned.
Turn it back on so I can see you.
There we go. What about now?
Oh, that's so much better. It's so much better not looking at a black screen. Now I can see you so much better. But
I had Chris come over here by me because he was opposite of me. And then I had him come over here so you could see him, you know, face to face.
So how many bottles of wine are you currently got stashed, like fermenting, waiting to be opened, to be drank over after 100 years, and you're not even around anymore?
I used to have a lot, but my wife and I's company that we basically ran for 4 years went out of business. We were undercapitalized, and so I sold everything I had to pay the mortgage for a few months.
That happens. I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
I used to have grape ball. I mean, I'd come home and my wife would be in the kitchen with her girlfriends going, "Oh, this wine tastes really good, honey." And I'd look at what they were drinking, and I'd say, "You know, that ball costs about $3,000, right?"
Oh man, is that when you're like, you just like tell everyone to get out?
I eventually learned my lesson, though. I made a special rack just for her and put wines that she could drink on it, and then everything else was on.
These are the $10 bottle of wine. You can drink
this. This is wine for your friends.
Yeah,
this is wine for us.
Yeah, it wasn't a $3,000 bottle, but it was a bottle of 1982 Leyville Lascasse. It's a classified growth, and it probably was about $300 if you bought it in a store.
I
had a bottle of 86 Jacobs Creek. I think that was the oldest bottle of wine I ever had.
86?
And a friend of mine was working with this guy and, like, you know, cleaning out his basement. And the guy was like, "Yeah, you can have all that wine." So he just brought boxes of wines over to the house. And I was heading up to New York from Florida. And I was like, "All right, well," you know, he gave me a whole box. and in it was like an 86 Jacob's Creek, which we opened at this dinner party, and it had all the, you know, the sulfites. You know, you could tell it was pretty pretty
shake it up a little bit, just get those sulfites moving.
But still, you know, we were
sediment.
Yeah, it's probably not good, right? That's not.
No, it's okay.
Yeah,
wine store sediment.
Yeah, it was good though. I liked it.
It was good. It was good.
It was good.
So, yeah, I had a question, but now it's gone. But because Mike interrupted me, but it's cool. It's cool. All right,
we're just hanging out.
So I have off for the rest of the week, right? I have off this week, and I'm going flying to Seattle, and I'm taking a road trip.
With who?
The look on your face.
This guy, this is one of my best friends, and he still hasn't come. I've been out here 3 years. He still hasn't come out to Colorado.
One of my options was to come to Colorado, but it turns out that I'm going to go fly into Seattle, meet up with a girl out there, and then we're taking a road trip through the Redwoods. That's
Wait, who's this girl? This isn't a New York girl. This is a different girl?
No, same girl. Same girl.
Redhead?
Yeah. So we're doing that. So one of my options was come to Colorado, but she's going to a wedding in Seattle. So I'm going to go do that. But so I have off, and then Wednesday I'm leaving. But tomorrow my mom's like, I took off. The whole family took off. We got to go. We got to do something as a family. So first, come down to the city. We'll go to the museum. We'll have a good time. We'll go get dinner. Everything will be great. I don't want to do that. I don't want to walk around. My mom, I don't want to walk around the city. All right, fine. I'll come up there. We'll go do something. And now it just turns into like one thing after another. Like, how do you deal with family? That's my biggest question. You. Yeah.
Like, just like I am.
I know.
I'm not coming out. You'd rather go to a wedding.
I'm not going to the wedding. I'm not going to the wedding. The wedding is today.
Oh.
I'm going to meet up with her after, and we're going to drive from Seattle to San Francisco.
Oh, that sounds like a good drive.
It's a good drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a drive with my buddy Giggles, but, no. You know, one day.
So you'd rather hang out with, I get it. That's fine, man.
Yeah. All right, yeah. My question about wine, back to the wine. I've always heard that like 97 was always a good year for wine. What do you consider like the best year for wine? Cuz I know weather plays a factor, space plays a factor, all that stuff, but like 97 I hold dear to my heart because I graduated that year, because I turned 18 that year, whatever it's going to be. I always heard that was a good year for wine. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, but it depends on where you're talking about.
Sure.
It's really good in California.
Yeah. So what makes a good year? A lot of rain?
No. Actually, usually what makes a good year is if you don't have a freeze during the spring, because that's when the flowers set, and that's what turns into fruit. You don't want to have a summer that's too hot, and you certainly don't want rain just before harvest.
No.
Because
it's going to flood them all out.
Will soak up the water and dilute the concentration of the sugars.
So how long so you pluck these grapes off, right? Now we're talking about the process of wine. Then what? You stomp them or you squish them to some degree. And then how long does it take to go from grape to wine?
As little as a week.
Really? All right, what else is in this process of making wine? I don't want your specific recipe because I know maybe you got something you want to tell anybody. But like the basics of making wine.
Well, you harvest it. Some people wash off the grapes. Other people don't. They're trying to get rid of any wild yeast that might be on the grapes because they don't want it to go crazy.
Or pesticides
they
if they're out there.
Cultured yeast to the wine. You can make a wild yeast wine, but you don't have is all sorts of different types of yeast mixed up in there, so you can have a really weird fermentation. Like it'll start and stop and start and stop. And so a lot of people like to use a yeast that's been made in the laboratory, so they'll get a consistent fermentation. It'll get all the sugar, you know, that they want to make the alcohol level that they want. And then there are actual yeasts that give flavor to the wine. Most of the people that I've worked with in the past are natural winemakers, and they don't like messing around with flavorings, so to speak, which some people think the yeast can, you know, is kind of cheating. But So yeast you need. So you start the fermentation, you go through, you finish your fermentation, and then typically they take that wine out of the fermentation tank and they rack it into barrels. And then they sit in a barrel for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, in some cases 2 years, like Rioja.
There it is. Telling you how to make wine. Are
that's
you
how to make wine. Yeah, I want to make wine. I want to make wine.
Hang out with in Seattle. All right. Yeah. So let's get into it.
What are we
Chris
getting
and
into?
I. Chris is my neighbor. He's uh-huh. down the block. I've met him a couple times. And it's, I've been introducing Chris to the neighborhood parties.
The
neighborhood
watch party.
Hangs. Because you know me. I'm a social butterfly.
The poker parties? And, you introduced him to the poker parties?
To the poker party. We went to the poker party last night. We watched
how was
the
that?
Fight.
And oh, you
then,
did?
Before then, so we've actually had a three-peat weekend. We've hung out 3 days in a row.
How does that feel?
Like I said, he's my new bromance. You know?
He really is. How does that feel to hang out with Giggles here for 3 days straight? Are you sick of him yet? Do you want to just be like, I'm done? I got to go home.
I need a break.
I need a break, too. He comes and visits me often enough where I'm like, sending you back. Like, we need a break.
Well, because when I come to visit you in New York, I'm all jammed up. I just want to hang.
You do. And you're like, you're texting me constantly, like, when you're coming home from work, we need to hang. Let's go here. Meet me here. Let's go this, do that. Yeah, it's just a lot. It's a lot. But I love you for it. And you always have a room.
Thanks, buddy.
Chris, too. You got a room anytime you want to come to New York.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So what's going on in... go ahead. You watched the fight. You watched the fight.
And I had a great game because there was like 25 people there. There was a lot. It was a poker night / fight night.
Ooh.
So my buddy had, you know, that the bar in the neighborhood bar had it on a big screen. And we were all watching. And I had a great game of going around the room and saying, who could I beat up? You know, because I was watching the fight and I was getting all jammed up. And I was looking around the room and I was like, all right, who can I beat up? And also, like, who would kill me? And there was like a lot. It was, I want to say it was mainly 70% people who could kill me.
Yeah.
30%, like maybe I could beat them up.
Were they like children?
Brain surgeon showed up with, like, you know, he's got the big glasses. And I was like, I could definitely beat him.
You could beat him up.
But he's smarter than me.
Oh,
you
know,
he could totally, like, you know, ace a math test.
Yeah.
You know,
he'll probably, you know, come up with some solution on how to beat you too. Like throw like acid in your eye or something. Something chemically, you'll lose. You'll lose definitely with him.
Yeah. So saying this, watching the fight, Chris is actually judoka.
Judoka.
So this guy had a black belt at 17. I didn't really get the bio to run down on you.
They took it away from me.
They took it away. Get up on that mic, buddy.
What?
They didn't take it away from me. No, I didn't get my black belt until I was in my 20s. But it's something I've been doing for a long time.
But you got your black belt now.
You're assistant coaching or head coaching of the JV local high school wrestling team, right?
Yes.
All right. I have a question for you. There was something that came out of Colorado with the cheerleaders. Did you see the cheerleader thing? The cheerleader
high school?
Yeah. And it was in Colorado. Yeah, the splits.
I watched that.
Is this something?
I didn't watch it with the audio on. I just watched it and I was like,
it was really terrible. It was really terrible.
My wife was very upset. My wife's been coaching cheerleading for a long time and she was even an NFL cheerleader.
Really?
I'll show you.
I didn't know that.
Show you her trading cards.
All right.
When you come over next time. Yeah, she was.
Your wife was an NFL cheerleader?
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you what team because everybody hates this team.
Is it the Dolphins?
No.
No, it's the Patriots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's some
Dave,
audio.
Are you with us?
Here's some audio from that girl. Yeah. Wait till it plays.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
It sounds really bad.
So I mean,
exactly. But I mean, is this something that like this guy is obviously being investigated now? But is this something you see as when you're training for in your high school? Is there like people who just push too hard, or is it like
no? I actually helped my wife with stunting when I was stationed in Germany. She was a head coach of the high school. And she had three boys on the team. And so I used to help because I've learned how to cheerlead through osmosis. I've just been around it so much that I know what, you know, lifts to do and how to do them. So I was showing the boys how to lift. And so I was around the cheerleading team all the time. And my wife would never do that. And
so what you do is you lift them up high enough where you can see under their skirt. That's
Well, that's what how she recruits the boys. She says, "Hey, look, where else are you going to be able to grab a girl everywhere?
Yeah.
And get away with it.
It's for the game.
Yeah,
it's for the team.
It's for the girls. It's for the team.
I want to pull that audio clip. I learned how to cheerlead through osmosis because I think that's really good.
that is really good.
That was gold right there. That was radio gold.
That is radio gold. So your wife condemns obviously this act of terror.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, but like, what did she say anything else about it? Like, oh, I've seen those girls cheerlead somewhere, because it was like a national cheerleading thing, wasn't it? Or I might be wrong about that, but I know that...
I don't know. I thought it was just their practice.
Mm. I thought it was like a high-level cheerleading thing, but I could be wrong. But I know that the guy who was the coach is the mascot of the Denver Broncos. So yes. He's the guy who flips around and does all the, you know, like whatever Denver Bronco jackassery he's going to do. But, I mean, this guy seems like a total, like, will win at any cost. Even if I break these little girls into submission, which is pretty rough. That's pretty rough.
That seems terrible. Yeah. I can't imagine that somebody videotaped it, but like it's, you know, we've talked about this before, like how much stuff goes on that's not videotaped, you know, that somebody just happens to be pressing record and all this weird stuff is happening. You know?
It's true. And you think about like all the stuff that was missed out on when we were kids because there really was no videotape. There was no ease of accessibility to videotaping stuff. So like all that horror is just left in your mind.
I know. And everybody's like, you know, this world has gone to shit, and you know, it's hell in a handbasket and all that kind of rhetoric. But it's just because it's exposed.
Right.
It was probably worse. It's just that nobody was videotaping it 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
Exactly.
See, I was taking dance back in high school. So I had the deal in high school. So junior year of high school, we had a local dance studio. And the lady said, listen, guys are free. Guys can come and take classes for free. So me being 17 and like super into girls, I was like, of course, I'm going to go like be a dancer.
Sure.
You know, and luckily, I didn't, you know, pursue my, you know, sort of dream.
Didn't
of
becoming you go to college
dancer.
For that?
No, I went to college for music theater. So we had all three.
That's basically
dancing,
the same.
Singing and acting,
right? Triple threat.
But I remember
we
during this dance class, we had like partner, you know, stretches to where like somebody would help you with, you know, kind of get into the splits and kind of push down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But it was never like bad to where you're crying,
right?
You know, they would just help you assist with the splits, and I would sort of do my best not to get a boner. You know, that was my.
Were you wearing sort of tights? State. Were you in tights?
Is relax, but don't relax too much.
Relax and let the world know how relaxed you are. That's really funny. Yeah, the in the video too, they're showing it's like the girl is like trying, you know, in the split mode, and the coach is behind her, like pretty much kneeling on her leg to get it down, and it's just like I just don't understand like what he was trying to gain from that, as far as like they're just high school students. This isn't like a major production. This isn't like, you know, whatever, you know, it's not the Denver Broncos. Look at that thing. Nice.
Yeah. Well, yesterday I was at the CSU football game.
Oh,
filming. I got a media pass for the football game, the opening game, the new stadium.
Go wherever you want.
I'm on the field with my camera gear watching, you know, the football players warm up and like get all hyped up. And right before, you know, I was kind of staying. This is my first time on the field level.
Nice.
So I was kind of staying where the other cameramen were, because I was, you know, keeping an eye out for loose balls. And, you know, I didn't want to like step on anybody's toes.
Excuse me.
Jeez.
But the football players were getting all hyped up before, and they were listening to like, I guess they call it trap music, or it's something where it's just like a lot of just like, it, I don't know if it's angry or just like hyped up.
It's like really,
you know, like,
pulse. Yeah.
You know, like just getting it. And they all, you know, they were all like doing this dance, and then they like busted out of there. And then there was like five jets that flew over, and then like fireworks. It was just epic. But it was pretty cool. I did look at the Jumbotron at one point, because I was like, I know I got to be on there. I know the jump, because they did the coin toss, and I just went up there with them, you know. And I looked up for a brief second and saw my
you saw yourself? Head. Let's see. Here's some trap music. Does that sound like trap?
No, that wasn't it. That wasn't Maybe it. It wasn't trap music. I don't know what these kids listen to these days.
Nobody does. No. So you're watching the fight with all the bros at the house. What'd you think of the fight? Because I didn't get to watch it. I wasn't going to spend $100 to watch this damn thing. What'd you think of it? I saw the highlights. Was it worth it?
Was it worth? Well, I didn't pay for
it. You didn't pay for it, so yes. The answer is yes.
It was worth every penny. I think that it was a good thing because for boxing that Merriweather won, because if he had lost, a lot of people have been complaining about boxing has lost its way and it's not the sport it used to be and people aren't, coming to events or watching it as much. And I think if he had lost that would have continued. But I think it's kind of a new beginning for boxing.
You think so?
People pay more attention to it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when there's a major fight, because Mayweather has now declared that he's going to retire again. But regardless that he's going to retire again, he...
How much was it? $54 million he got for that?
I think he got over $100 million. And what's his name? McGregor got $30 million. So they both made out fine.
Yeah.
But I feel like I like boxing. I like to watch boxing. I'm not gonna watch something that's not like a main event, but I like the idea of boxing and I really am smitten by the idea of how popular it used to be. Like back in the 70s, the Rumble in the Jungle, Foreman versus, it was just huge. And then all of a sudden it just died. And I don't know why it died, but I think it was just because there was just so many more other options, maybe. But I do think that this whole Mayweather, the Mayweather-Pacquiao, that was kind of a dud of a fight. And the Mayweather-McGregor is just kind of like these fights that are more like circus fights rather than actual fights. Because McGregor's not a boxer. I mean, the fact that Mayweather won was obvious. He was going to beat someone who wasn't a boxer. But it's just this like thing where they're going to get a lot of money and it's going to be a circus that's going to draw a whole lot of attention. But is it good for boxing? I don't think so because he's not a boxer. And I do we see anyone else coming up that will be able to put up a fight to actually draw in something that's actually fight worthy? That's what I wonder. And
okay.
And I don't know if it's the case. I mean, Mayweather is the last real big name in boxing. Pacquiao did say he's going to fight something, but he's like almost 40 years old. The dude can't, he's too old to be fighting. He shouldn't have fought the last Mayweather. But it's interesting to see if it's going to spruce up. I mean, there was like everyone in America was interested in that fight last night to some degree.
Yeah.
And I think that's good for boxing, but I don't know if it's going to be longevity good for boxing.
I think boxing went the way of politics, basically.
Yeah, everything became a circus. It's totally true.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, when you're thinking about the 70s and even into the 80s, how popular boxing was, and I'm not a boxer, but my dad used to box.
Nice.
But, I just noticed that people maybe our age, I think I'm a little older than you guys.
Just a little bit.
But like your age group and up in age, we kind of don't know how to do the marketing that the younger kid folks do, the Twitters and all those social media marketing things. And I think boxing kind of, they missed out or they haven't embraced the modern social media. Like the mixed martial arts has.
Yeah,
that's true.
You got the young crowd.
You type in mixed martial arts gym in any city in America, and 20 gyms are going to pop.
Sure, but why is that more popular? I mean, is it just because? Do you think it's just because of this whole marketing thing that it's more popular than boxing?
When people aren't educated about something and don't see how good it is, that they're not going to be interested. And that's what's going on with boxing. It's nobody's interested to watch boxing because boxing is not marketing itself well enough.
I also think with MMA, you are now one step closer to the Coliseum and you're one step closer to more brutality. You're one step closer to like more just absolute mayhem of two people going at it with each other. Whereas boxing is a little bit more civilized in the sense that's like, all right, we're only using our hands. We're not going to be headbutted. You know, we're not going to be above the belt. Everything is like, there's a
biting ears.
No biting ears. Well, once in a while.
That only happened once.
It only happened once. But I think that civility, I'm not saying that that MMA is not civil. I think they're trained and they are amazing people.
Dave.
Yeah.
What? Do you want to call up?
Society isn't civil, Dave.
No, society is not civil. But I think that's all we're looking for anymore. We're looking for the nonsense to be entertained by, from our wrestling, from our like whatever, to our politics. And our politics is absolute mayhem, but it's entertaining as shit. Trump TV is the most entertaining television to watch, but it's not good for society. And I think that MMA is kind of in the same rank. It's like we're these people that are just killing each other in a closed off ring, and it's probably not good for society. And that, now I'm just sounding like an old cranky person that's just like, you know, my day wrestling was fake, you know, but. I just find it very interesting that like that where society looks to for their entertainment in brutality, where it once was boxing, and then it moved to kind of like fake wrestling, and then it moved to MMA, which is kind of interesting. Fake wrestling, yeah.
That's the ultimate showmanship. I keep watching. Randy Savage videos on that guy was on so much coke during the 80s, like ridiculous. Everybody was, but that guy was on more coke than like. Yeah. Anybody,
Rip,
you know,
man. R.I.P. Dude died of a heart attack behind a wheel and crashed into a tree.
Yeah,
it's rough. Yeah, but all those guys, I mean, Ric Flair, I think, is still in the hospital. He's like not doing well. All those guys die in their like 50s. They're just doing so many drugs that they just kill their bodies. It's crazy. Yeah. One day we'll get on. I know a writer who's what are they called? Ghostwriter. He wrote he wrote like all their books. He wrote Ric Flair's book. He wrote all the Yokozunos, all the big time wrestlers of the 80s. He wrote all their books. And I know this guy. He writes for the show that I work on from time to time, and I've worked with him many years, and he's every time I work with him, he has a story about something, and the stories he has are the most amazing stories you can imagine. I went to a party with him not that long ago where he wrote a book about John Lennon, and it was like pretty big for a while. But we'll get him in one day. He's a great dude.
Are you speaking of John Lennon? Are you a Yoko hater?
No, I don't hate Yoko. Why? What's going on with Yoko? She's not doing too well.
I just read something. I didn't know if it was true or not, but I guess something Yoko had something of John's or something, and then she sold it. She was going to give it to the son. Something I don't know.
What
everybody loves to hate on Yoko. I just read the headlines.
Well, it was recently that I don't know if this is what you were talking about, but recently there was some kind of induction, something or other, for like BMG Music or something, and they gave Yoko co-writing for Imagine. They gave her credit, legally credit for Imagine. So now she has now the half rights of Imagine, which is pretty big. I mean, in the world of like. You know, the money that comes in from Imagine, but also the fact that she co-wrote it. It's pretty interesting. But
I just love that video. They were on some show, and they were jamming with somebody, and Yoko had the tambourine, but she was so offbeat, and he looked at the one guitarist's face, and he just looks over, and he's like, "You are screwing this up. This is terrible."
That one guitarist, you mean like George Harrison? Is that
maybe. Or they were jamming with somebody else and, you know, another band.
Another band.
She just came out there, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So what's the deal
Should I get
night?
My mom to call in?
No, we only have 7 minutes left, 6.5 minutes left. So they finally opened up the new Tappan Zee Bridge. That is, they opened it up this weekend, I think. It's the Governor Cuomo Bridge. They named it after Cuomo, which is pretty interesting.
But he's still the governor, though.
Yeah.
You can't really name him. I mean, I guess you can.
Well, I think it was after his dad, because his dad was governor, too. So they named it after his dad.
I think Tappan Zee sounds so much better.
Tappan Zee does sound so much better.
But I know how you New Yorkers are. You're going to call it Tappan Zee anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're totally going to call it.
Like in Boston, they still call the garden, I mean, they call the stadium there the garden, even though it's not called the garden anymore.
Yeah, and it hasn't been the garden in like 20 years, right? Something like that. Yeah. But you know how much it cost, the new bridge? It came in under budget and under time. I think it was 5 years it took to build it. And it cost $4 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Under budget. It came in under budget.
Well, you, pretty you guys can afford it. You,
sure.
If you can afford to live in Manhattan, you got some money.
Sure. Well, I don't live in Manhattan, so yeah. But I'm imagining that the toll is going to be like $15 because that's what tolls are now in New York.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's crazy. Stupid. They're like $15 to $20.
I think when I left, it was 12. When I moved to New York, it was six and eight.
Yeah, I remember when
six
it was 6 and 8, 50,
then 12, and then 15, and I said, see ya. I'm out. I'm
going to Colorado.
Going
they
to
beat up their cheerleaders.
Yeah.
You know?
So I wanted to let you know that I might be able to get a wine personality in on your end.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. We're not going to be here next week because I'm going to be in somewhere in San Francisco, somewhere over there. But let me know when you want to bring him in, and we will. We'll just drink wine. We'll just get really drunk on wine that night. I am totally down for that.
Yeah, I'm into that. Oh, yeah. I'll be out of town too. So we'll both be out of town.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to Charlotte.
Oh, you're going to Charlotte?
No.
What are you doing down there? Shooting a wedding?
No, visiting family. We're going to Charlotte. We're going to stay at the Great Wolf Lodge.
Are you going to see Morgan?
Maybe.
What is she doing these days? We should tell her to call in.
She's waiting tables, last I heard.
I thought she was going to be a stewardess or something. A
flight attendant.
Flight attendant.
That's her plan now. So.
And that's we'll her see. Lovely plan. That's her plan to solve all the problems, right?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Hold on. I got to... I won't show the video. I can't show the video on... but no, my sister, she is going to celebrate her 30th wedding anniversary with her husband October 6th. And she bought him his first car, not his actual first car, but the same model.
Yeah.
Which was a 72 Monte Carlo, and had this big surprise and, showed it to him, you know, it pulled up on a tractor or whatever.
Yeah.
And had him turn around, and he started, let me see if
started
I can.
Started laughing?
No, he started like kind of crying. I can maybe.
Started crying?
The video. It was good. It was good.
Started where crying?
The crying.
Like happy good. Crying.
You have it?
All right.
You have the video?
I have the video. I'll play a little of the audio. Let's see. All right. So, 30 years marriage.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
I can hear it. We're so good at production.
I know. All right. So, the car's pulling up. He has no idea. So, he hates surprises. Aaron, you can probably watch it if you want.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
He's totally crying.
Yeah, he's crying. That's a whale of a cry, too.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right, I got to pause that.
That's good.
But I kind of cried watching the video because, I mean, this dude is like, you know, I've known him since I was 5.
Yeah.
So... You know, and then they got married as teenagers.
You're tearing up now a little bit. You're kind of welling up a little bit right now. You are.
It was a happy, you know, just watching him cry. Sure. I was kind of cried a little bit myself too because I was like, oh, that's good. You know, like
yeah. I mean, that's
if Julie bought my car, you know, my first car would be an '88 Astro.
Ooh.
You know, like it. My friends used to call it the molester mobile because it looked like a molester van. You know,
you driving around in girls' underwear. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's good. I will end it with not the Onion news. This was not Onion, and there was a couple of cases where they were treating people from the solar eclipse, treating their eyes, and a few people were tested because they poured suntan lotion in their eyes.
Yeah,
thinking that would help with blocking the sun's rays.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Well, our president stared at the sun.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew it.
That was really, really. I mean, that was so fitting, though. I mean, if he didn't do that, I would have been disappointed because we all wanted him to do that. That all comes down to the Trump TV. We want to see him make a buffoon of himself because it's fun to be like this idiot. I'm smarter than him, and that's that.
Yeah. He basically.
Go ahead. Go
ahead. Are you really ending it?
No, we got another minute.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. We can't start now.
We can't start something.
He pardoned that dude, the sheriff,
Arpaio. Joe Arpaio.
He basically said, like, you can do this. You can discriminate.
I mean, Joe,
I got you.
Arpaio pretty much said that he called his jails concentration camps. So in a way, Trump is now endorsing concentration camps by letting Arpaio go free. So this is a world we live in. Take it or leave it. This is the end of our show. We won't be here next week.
Thanks, Chris, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, we won't be here next week, but we come back. We're going to have a wine dude who's going to teach us everything about wine, because Chris taught us half about wine today.
But it's
going
to be a wine woman.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, we're out.